Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Jewish authorities plotted with their Roman overlords to have Jesus killed. All they needed was someone who could help them set the trap, and that someone was Judas. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, more in our series simply called For Us, tracing the events of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. We're watching as Judas betrays the Son of God into the hands of evil men.
And so they thought to themselves that if we could find someone who knows Jesus well and knows where he would be and can identify him for us in the twilight, then we can catch him. Judas, in his heart, knew that they were looking for someone, and he volunteered for the job. But before he did, he went up to the upper room with Jesus. What an amazing story. And Jesus had all the disciples sitting there and said to them, "One of you is going to betray me." And to the everlasting credit of these disciples, they all went around the table and said, "Is it I?" And that's the question I should be asking today, and that's the question you should be asking. Is it I? Amazing to me. Peter didn't nudge James and say, "Oh, I've always been worried about Judas." No, he said, "Is it I?" Very interesting. Judas changes the question just a little bit and says, "It isn't I, is it?" Judas is sitting next to Jesus, the place of honor. Jesus said, "After I've dipped the morsel," which is the beginning of the meal, "the person to whom I give it, he's the one who will betray me." And Jesus takes the morsel and he dips it in the sauce and he gives it to Judas. And the Bible says in John 13 that immediately Satan entered into him. I was just thinking about this yesterday in preparing the message. I'd never thought of this before. Just imagine, Satan entered the upper room. Because it says that when Jesus gave Satan the morsel, the Bible says that when Jesus gave Judas the morsel, Satan entered into him immediately, and Jesus speaks to Judas and says, "What you think you need to do, go ahead and do." And so Judas leaves, and the Bible says it was night. No matter how dark that night was, there is something else that was even darker, and that was the soul of Judas. And he leaves. Now, the moment we introduce Satan into this equation, we have to ask a couple of questions, don't we? Because one of the questions you might want to ask is, was Judas just a harmless victim? I mean, he just was going along, and one day Satan says, "I'm recruiting you to do this terrible deed, and therefore I'm going to enter you, and now do it." No. Judas wasn't an innocent bystander in this drama. You see, because he loved money, because he was covetous, there was a doorway, an entry point, if you please, into his life. Whenever we give in to our passions, and whenever we exploit our passions, and whenever we choose to live by our passions, no matter the cost, what we discover is that there is ground, there is entry point. And what Satan was really doing is he was coming along to help Judas do what Judas had already thought of doing and planned to do. The devil, in effect, said, "I'll help you do what you've decided to do." There's another question, and this is brought up in the little booklet by John Piper entitled "The Most Spectacular Sin," where he talks about Judas. Why did Satan change his technique? All throughout the life of Jesus, Satan is trying desperately to keep Jesus Christ from the cross. He's even using Peter to say, "No, you will not die." Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and he's speaking to Peter because that was the will of the devil. Now the devil changes his mind and begins to help the process. Why? Well, I think it's true, as Piper says. It's because Satan knew by now there was no way to prevent Jesus from going to the cross. The plan had been laid. The will of God had been done. Jesus was resolute in his decision to go to the cross. And so, as a result, Satan decided, since I can't stop it, I'm going to do all the damage I can in the process. I'm going to make it as hard as possible for Jesus. I'm going to use Judas so that I get the satisfaction of seeing this betrayal. I'm just going to make this as messy as I can to make sure that Jesus has as hard a time as possible. And so Satan enters into Judas to do this ghastly deed, the most spectacular sin in the whole universe. Well, I've mentioned to you that Judas had a very covetous heart. He had a deceitful mind, and then he decided to go through with the deed and had a very resolute, strong will. And now we do pick up the passage here in Mark chapter 14, verse 43. Please follow along as I read. It's page 851 in the Bible that's available to you. "And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' And when he came, he went to him at once and said, 'Rabbi,' and kissed him." Matthew records in chapter 26 that Jesus Christ's response was, "Friend, why did you come here? Do what you have decided to do." Jesus, the gentleman, "Friend, why did you come here?" Here's a kiss of betrayal. Judas, as smooth as silk. Do you know anyone like that who can kill with kindness? Do you know anyone who may do a good deed of kindness to simply deceive you? Jesus is here, and Judas is betraying him with a kiss, no less. And so you know the rest of the story. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and they came and they laid hands on Jesus and they carry him away. And now six trials are going to begin, 3 Jewish trials and 3 Roman trials. And that will be the subject of the message, the next message in the series, when I speak about Jesus on trial for us. Judas goes to the chief priests and says, "I betrayed him to you. Give me the money." So they give him 30 pieces of silver. Oh, silver. I don't know how much silver was worth on the common market in those days. I don't know what it was on the Middle East Dow Jones Industrial Average. But thank God for some silver. Hedge against inflation. Times are tough. It's a little more than you need, but it's always good to have some for a rainy day. He gets his silver, and the heart of Judas is glad. "I've got my money." But then he hears that Jesus has been condemned, and he begins to think back over what he had done. And he's full of remorse. He knows right well he has betrayed innocent blood. He knows right well that he's stepped over a line here. To be in a man's inner circle for 3 years, this man, for 3 full years, working with him, praying with him, doing miracles with him, and now betraying him. The Bible says that somehow money loses its luster, doesn't it? when you're filled with remorse and guilt. And so the scripture says that Judas takes the money and he goes back to the people who gave it to them and he throws it into the treasury. And they say, "Why are you doing that? We don't care what's happened to you." Isn't that interesting? They were his friends as long as the agreement was being reached. But when the agreement was over, the people didn't care at all for Judas. And then in desperation, not knowing where to turn, because his remorse was so great, he did what 30,000 Americans do every year. He committed suicide. Why Judas? Why does God put a person like Judas in the Bible? Judas actually is a prototype of every human being. He's a picture of you and me. Don't get the impression that Judas somehow wasn't human. He was us. Not sure if that's right grammar, but he was one of us. The fact is that none of us is as good inside as we purport to others to be outside. We're all hypocritical. We all have the potential for great evil within our hearts. So let's not point our finger at Judas, but let us learn from him. And there are a couple of important lessons that we should learn from Judas. Number one, no position of honor can substitute for personal faith in Jesus Christ. No position of honor can substitute for personal faith in Christ. You can teach, you can sing in the choir, you can be honored, you can be well spoken about, you can memorize verses of scripture, you can pride yourself in the knowledge of the Bible and still be lost forever if you've never trusted Christ personally. And the Bible makes it very clear that Judas never did trust Christ. Jesus said on one occasion, "Didn't I choose 12 and one of you is a devil?" You know, this is one of the most sobering messages I think I've ever preached, because when you stop to think of it, just visualize with me, here are pastors perhaps and spiritual workers and those who are involved in ministry. Could it be that at the end of the day, it turns out that they have never savingly believed on Christ? I mean, apparently Judas was able to do the miracles that the disciples did. He was able to camouflage his unbelief so successfully that when Jesus said, "One of you will betray us," nobody looked at Judas. They all looked at themselves. Let me ask you something. Are you a Judas? Could it be that you have never believed on Christ? Rush to him today and be saved.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus Betrayed for Us, the second message in a series simply called For Us. Next time, some final thoughts on betrayal, then and now. For Us is a five-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.